This is Whitney, and you're listening to the JCast on Jabberlog.
Welcome to Within the Trenches, true stories from the 911 dispatchers who live them.
What's going on? This is Ricardo with Jabberlog on the JCast, and I'm sitting here with my co-host Whitney, and this is episode number 12 of Within the Trenches. What's going on?
Hey, bro. How you feeling?
I'm feeling all right, I guess.
You look a lot less scary. You don't need a hunchback anymore.
I know. Oh, holy crap. Did you mention that to me on a text message, or was it somebody else to you?
I think we were kind of quietly talking about it behind your back. I mean, you're a buddy and everything, but there's a point there where we were like, he's looking rough.
Yes. Oh my God. I don't know. I think it was texting Carl is what it was.
Okay.
I was texting him as well. And he was saying, all you need is a hunchback. And I thought, damn, that's messed up. Yes. For those who don't know, I'm sure you saw the pictures that I was posting on the Jabberlog fan page. I ended up having an abscess tooth. Just one tooth, and it destroyed my face. It was swollen. It was like someone farted in my mouth, and it just stayed open.
Again?
Yeah. Oh, and laughing like that kind of hurts. I can't do a big smile because it's still kind of tight and everything. So
it looks a lot less intense. I mean, there was a point there. Well, if we had to explain it to listeners who haven't seen it, I'm talking like baseball at one point.
Yeah.
That one evening where you were just.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So I can explain it like this. If you've ever gone into, and I'm pretty sure they still have them, if you go into the gas station or Walmart or something like that, and you see all the gum on the racks when you're checking out, and you see that big league chew.
That guy. Yes.
Yes. That guy. That's exactly what I look like. I look like I had a big old chaw right in my mouth, and it was very painful. I mean, my lip was stretched out so far on the right side that the pain was just, I can't even explain the pain. It was just amazing. Not amazing good.
No. And you gave your wife a heart attack because at one point, I mean, Ricardo spent this weekend in and out of the oral surgeon. We were supposed to do an interview with another dispatcher on Wednesday, and we had to cancel it because he was back and forth all weekend and he couldn't talk and he didn't work the first part of this week. And his wife, Becky, texted me and she's like, I don't know what I'm going to do. They told him that if it gets any worse, he'll have to go to the hospital. And I was like, I think it's about time he goes there anyways.
But yes.
They pulled it together.
Yeah, it was definitely interesting just sitting there and the dentist telling me, we're going to have to cut you open. And I thought, okay, well, just like along my gum line, or that's what you mean, right? And he said, oh, yeah. He says, because you can always tell me no. However, if you let it go and just kind of play it by ear, then there's a possibility that it's going to start swelling down towards your neck. It's going to cut off your air supply and you could die.
Or you just have a goiter.
Yeah. And I said, well, I don't want that. I said, whatever you have to do. And he said, all right, well, here's a form. This, you know, it says all the risks and everything. And he says, but once again, if you let it go, you'll end up having major surgery and then the risks there are tenfold. And I said, nope, signed it. And he's like, all right, let's do this. So I'm sitting there and I'm freaking out and I'm texting my wife and telling her, this is what's going to happen. This is what's going on. And she was sending me messages back saying, I'm confused. Are you getting, because I had told her too, that a tooth might get pulled in the back. And she said, so are you getting your tooth pulled and you're getting cut open, or just cut open and not the tooth pulled? And I'm trying to frantically text and everything else. And like my thumb cramped up and everything else because I was trying to do it so fast and I was freaking out. I was sweating and I got in the last thing. Just no, they're not taking my tooth out. Yes. They're cutting me open right now. And I put my phone back in my pocket because they already hit me with like 3 or 4 shots to numb me up. But whenever I could bite down, I could still feel kind of the pain.
Yeah.
And I told him that, and he says, we'll wait a little bit longer, but it was only like 5 minutes that they waited. And then they came back in and I was biting again. And he says, look, you're going to be able to bite on your teeth and you're going to feel it. He says, but you know, you're not going to feel the pain.
I said, okay, you were going to feel pressure.
Right.
You're like, no, dude, yeah. I can really feel pain.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm laying back and they give the first
side note to anybody listening. If you have a weak stomach.
Oh yeah. This is about to get real. Yeah. This is, live on Spreaker, and we're doing something a little different here. Let's see how this goes. But yeah, they laid me back, and they handed him the scalpel, the first of three scalpels, actually. Whoa. And he just started cutting through, and I couldn't feel anything at first, but then as he got deeper, and I guess once every time he hit a pocket, it hurt even. I could feel the scalpel going in, and it was bad. I mean, I was, you know, all the grunting and moaning and breathing really heavy and stuff. And he says, "Can you feel this?" And I said, "Yes."
No, I can't. What did you say to him?
Not at all. Just because I'm sweating and breathing heavy. No, that doesn't mean nothing. But they ended up hitting me with another shot of anesthetic within one of the wounds that they slit open, and I could feel the needle going in. So, I mean, I was pretty much crying and everything else and blubbering and stuff. And he says, "All right, we're going to take a break." So they walk off, and I'm laying there, and I try to sit up, and I'm just, it was so bad, man. I mean, I was shaking, and I'm like, "Are you serious?"
You know what? This is why women have babies.
Yes.
And
I
not
know.
Men.
Exactly. Because, like I said, if men were to do that, it would be really bad. It'd be like throwing a hot dog in a microwave. But they come back a little bit afterwards, and they're like, "Okay, we'll see you. You know, how does it feel now?" And I said, "I can't feel my face. Like, I can touch it.
Good.
But I can't feel it."
Did he high five you? Is he
like- no, he was just like, "All right." So, you know, I laid back down, and then he starts going again. And all I could hear him cutting into it. You know, it was like cutting through steak or like cartilage and chicken or something. And he says, "Can you feel that?" And I said, "I can hear it, but I can't feel it." I said, "Just keep going.
Oh,
stop
gosh.
Asking me questions."
Yeah, exactly. Stop talking to me. We're not Facebook friends.
I know. Like, I understand you're trying to make sure I'm fine, and I dig that, but it was horrific.
He didn't care the first time around when you were so miserable. So
yeah.
Finish your job, guy.
Yeah. So that's what I've been dealing with for this past week. That's why, you know, like Whit was saying, we had postponed that other episode, but you know, it's still within this 1 week that we were going to do that episode. And I started feeling better and everything. So I thought, let's get an episode out where it's just Whitney and I just talking about different, you know, topics with 911 and stuff, talking about what we've been going through this week. And there's a lot of stuff that we will get to today. And we've got some tapes to play as well. But you actually are coming back to our team.
You're coming back
tonight.
Woo! Finally, I'm back to the dark side. I'm so excited. I took this weekend off. Ricardo's got to go work this weekend.
That's
but
right.
I found it incredibly important to celebrate my non-existent Irish heritage.
Ah, yes.
So I will be participating in Irish on Ionia, I should say, which is a big event in Grand Rapids. So I'll make sure to send you guys a bunch of pictures while you're saving lives tomorrow.
Yes, exactly.
No, but I'm really thankful to come back to the night shift. I always thought I wanted to be on days, so I could be on the same schedule as my husband and as the rest of the world. And that's not the case. The first 911 call I took when I was back on days was a man who woke up next to his wife who had been deceased for a portion of the evening already. And I, from then on out, man, I told you we had three deaths that day.
That's
and
nuts.
Then the other day, last week, Friday, we had three again. And I thought, nope.
See, it's because you went to days.
It
man.
Is. I'm going back to the night. Yeah, I was like, I brought the death with me. But no, I'm glad to be back on the night side. It's just a different group of people.
Yeah, and you're going to have to tell her coworker next time. Yeah, it didn't work out that great when we switched those 2 weeks because I took a lot of crazy calls.
Yeah. I had a lot of dying happening, and I'm okay with it because it's what we get paid to do, but I would so much rather be, you know, on our main police channel for like a flea or something cool, like the wrong way driver.
Right,
and everybody's
exactly.
on the edge of their seat. Not, ugh.
Yeah. For those people who don't know, today a new movie came out with Halle Berry in it. It's called The Call, and she plays a 911 operator. She was on Conan the other day, and I posted a leak on the fan page about it. She talks about, you know, who she or what she did to get in character and everything else. Conan had, you know, asked her if she was sitting with any dispatchers or anything to try to figure out what they did. And she said, yeah, she said that, you know, in the beginning, she had no idea what we do. She thought that, and I'm trying to figure out exactly how she put it because it was funny. I was cracking up, but she had said that she thought that they were down in like a cave, and
kind of what it feels like.
And would take calls, you know. I had to post the link on the blog post too as well, so that you can see it. It was just funny how she was talking about it, because really the way she put it, she had no idea what we do at all. Yeah. And if that was her first idea, then whoa.
So there's signs that say don't feed the dispatchers. I get it. I'm sure there's some
missing
people.
Links.
I know we have a neighboring county though. I think Barry County, don't they mm-hmm. dispatch out of a basement?
I think so.
Or
maybe
a lower level of their sheriff's department or something. We got it good.
Something like
we
that.
We have these huge bay windows that overlook an all sports lake, and
that's right. Yeah.
We kind of got it good where we dispatch at, but
yeah, every time we have a neighboring county come for any of the classes that we have going on at our center, when they come in to look at the actual center part of the building, that's what they look at first. It seems like that's the first thing we hear is, wow,
you guys got a grill. You guys got a grill out on our little deck. And
yeah, I was like, that's an excellent view. It's like, yeah, we used to have the telescope here, but somebody dropped it or something. I don't know. I don't think it ever really worked.
It was probably somebody from a neighboring.
That's right.
A neighboring center. Yeah, they probably kicked it.
They were upset and they're like, screw this.
Ottawa. Was it you?
That's right. You know, Jen and Crystal, actually.
They were in there, too, with a couple of other ones for a power phone one.
Yeah. So, like I said, this is live on air. So, if you guys are hearing this right now, no, we're joking. But, yeah, if anybody happens to check out that movie, you know, definitely let us know how it is. We haven't seen it yet. We got a lot of other things going on, but
I don't do scary movies. So
not scary movies at all?
No.
That's like a suspense thriller.
No. Every time that commercial comes on,
yes.
Ben always laughs. We don't watch a whole lot of TV, but whenever we do, that commercial has come on every single time we watch TV. We usually watch like Modern Family, just some stuff like that during prime time. Oh, I'm like, change it.
I don't want to see what I do on TV.
Exactly. Well, because I'd be that woman one time that I'd be, you know, all on that phone. Don't you hurt the girl. Whitney, please explain in writing why you're yelling back at your caller.
Right. That is what really happens when you do something like that.
Exactly. That doesn't happen in real life. You get in trouble and you get pulled into the admin's office.
Yep. Admin's office. You have to go to court. You know, if it goes any further, you get sued. We don't get to go and chase people into their houses and start busting out some fighting moves. But you had seen something on Facebook about the call.
Yeah, we laughed so hard when I told Ricardo this. There's a Facebook page. Ricardo and I are friends with a bunch of different 911 pages. There's Diary of a Mad Dispatcher, all different ones. One of them is, another one's the Cool Kids of 911.
That's right.
And this one in particular is Public Safety Dispatchers and Friends. Mm-hmm. And they have a little bit bigger admin panel where they'll have more than one person updating stuff. Now on the Jabberlog page, it's just Ricardo and I only post stuff every once in a while. But Manny from Public Safety Dispatchers and Friends always cracks me up. He's got a great sense of humor. And I just told Ricardo this a minute ago. I said, oh my gosh, he posted something about the call. So I was reading it and it's just a couple of sentences. And it says, hey, dispatchers, any groups getting together to watch this movie? Starts today. I think the next photo contest should be a close-up of us with our headsets on and having a look of fear. And it's a side-by-side with Halle Berry, and she's kind of got her mouth gasped open, like, and she's holding onto her headset, and she's, like, looking straight forward. And then there's one of Manny right next to it, and he put a title on it, and it says, no 911 person really does this when taking the call. And I thought, that's so true. Half the time, I know you can't see us. We don't have any live feed hooked up, but most of the time, if you can picture what my face looks like, it's like this. Huh?
Exactly.
What's going on?
Yes. We're going to have to, we'll have to post a link up to that as well. And shout out to you guys for doing that. Manny, that was.
Manny, you always really get a laugh funny. Out of us. You have the same sense good. Of humor.
You know, I was on my way over here driving to your place, noticing that Springtime is finally starting to hit.
Look at that. We're actually not in our studio right now. We're actually in my kitchen.
Right.
Dispatching right behind Ricardo.
Live from Whitney's place.
Coming live from Byron Center, Michigan.
That's right.
Woo, God's country. If you look out my back slider there, do you see that? All that green behind you that goes way into that open field?
That's nice.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, it's very nice out there. So,
but I'm kind of concerned because aren't there some environmental hazards that kind of start to come out with springtime? Starts yes. a little like allergies. I think you have a problem with asthma-y allergies thing.
Yeah, I'm sickly, yes.
But even bigger than that.
Yeah, we've got, like the bees, you know, bees and different insects start coming out and everything else. And I know I've had problems where when I go to cut the grass, and I've never been stung by a bee before.
Ever?
Never, ever.
You're like 61 and you've never been stung by a bee?
Yeah. And I remember my mom telling me once, she's like, you know, you got to watch out because you're allergic to bees. I said, how do you know if I'm allergic to bees? And she's like, well, you've never been stung. I was like, Mom, yeah, I've never been stung. So I don't know. And she's like, well, there you go. You got to be extra careful because you don't know. I'm like, well, thanks, Mom. I love you. But whenever I've cut the grass, there's this spot, and what I didn't know ever until a few years ago was that, you know, they make hives in the ground. Mm-hmm. I did not know this. And, you know, this whole time, you know, I feel like a fool, but I didn't know this. So there was one time, the time that I found out, I was cutting grass and I saw a couple of bees flying around. I was like, oh, I got to stay away from there. I don't want to get stung because I don't want to find out if I'm allergic or not. Well, then I looked down. And I see that there's a bunch of them coming up, almost like a tornado. Yeah, man. And I look closer and I notice that the hive is underneath the ground there. They had made it under there. And I thought, well, my lawnmower is just as loud as, you know, like a loud buzzing noise. Maybe they think I'm the queen or something. They'll stay
you
away.
Look like a queen.
Yeah. Hey. I ended up hauling butt and taking off, but you know, those are the kind of calls that we get sometimes where we get calls that people get stung by bees and, you know, we have to go through the whole thing through our EMD cards. And, you know, we've got a part on there for allergies, for bee allergies and, you know, for them to get their EpiPen and whatnot and everything else. So those calls can get pretty crazy.
But even before that, making sure, you know, they do have an EpiPen if there's an allergy. Mm-hmm. You have to see if the threat is still there, if they're still being stung or if they've come inside and somebody's trying to administer first aid to them. Because you never, any dispatcher knows this, you never want to make more patients than there already is. You know, mm-hmm. you never want to put somebody into a dangerous place. And unfortunately, people's innate reaction is to just want to help people.
Right.
And you might introduce yourself into something that's probably not the best idea.
Yeah, exactly. So with that said, we've got a 911 tape that we're going to play. This was actually back in August of 2010 in Austin, Texas. There was a man who was swarmed by thousands of bees. And from what they had put on there, he was stung at least 500 times.
Oh my gosh.
And the person who had witnessed it, he called 911 to get somebody to, you know, get over there to help him out. And while he's calling, he himself ends up starting getting stung by bees. They end up taking off after him. So I'll play that here and see how this goes.
You got one.
Fire department, what is the address of the emergency?
It's on East 13th Street. It's between Waller Street and Navasota.
Okay. All right, I'm getting an address off Waller Street.
East 13th between Waller and Navasota. Yes.
Okay. What's going on there?
There are bees, hundreds swarming around a guy who can't get up off the ground. Thousands.
Okay. All right, we've got a...
I don't know what to do in the meantime.
Route. Let me just go ahead and get some information from you.
Let's okay.
You said it's between Waller and Navasota off of...
Right. East 13th Street. It's two blocks east of I-35.
Okay.
You got to hurry up. I don't know if there's
it
anything.
It sounds bad already. You can hear them
okay.
in the background.
They're on their way.
Okay. Just stay on the line with me. I'm gonna just get a little bit of information for you. It's a man on ground. And is he currently being attacked by bees?
Yes, he is. Yes, he is, sadly.
Okay. What's your name, sir?
My name is...
Okay. Well, like I said, we do have a unit en route. Are there any...
That's where you can hear him start to get hit himself.
Landmark's right there, or can you stay on scene and help?
I can't do anything, I don't think, but there are no landmarks. It's residential.
Okay, it's residential.
Yeah.
Is there any way you can pull the man? Can you get close enough?
No. I'll be totally... No.
Okay.
I mean, it's crazy.
I wouldn't go over there either.
No. No.
Get up and run?
Oh, no. Well, no. Well, now they're coming to me. I'm down the street.
Okay, sir. Well,
God damn it.
All right, so
now he sounds like a real caller.
No! Oh. Oh, you got it.
Sir, what is it?
Yeah. Oh! What?
Can you get to the safe distance?
Oh,
no!
Gosh.
It's so bad.
Pardon me?
Sir, you can hang up the phone. Just, you need to get to a safe distance because you're being attacked.
Okay. Okay.
All right. Thanks for the call.
It's so easy to sit here and criticize a call taker. I mean, you know, we think things while we're listening to it, but in all honesty, most dispatchers are doing six things at once.
So right.
She might not sound like she's doing a whole lot. That's something I've learned. You have to tell your caller, you know, I already have help dispatch. I'm doing some other things right now. I'm still on the phone with you, but that can be frustrating for people to listen to if they're not a call taker to understand what she's doing, but. Oh man.
Can you imagine that being the person calling? You know, I'm thinking I'm doing a great thing. I'm calling for this guy. And the way it sounded, you know, he says that the guy's being stung so much that he can't even get
up. He's laying on the ground.
Yeah, he can't even stand up. He's getting stung so much. And, you know, I guess myself, I'd be like, okay, yeah, I'm doing the right thing here and I'm calling. But then I would have been running, man. I would have been hauling probably after that when I started getting hit.
I would have been that guy. I would have been out there with a garden hose. this has got to help. And then that would just make them that much worse.
Yeah, they'd get pissed. So, yeah, those are the kind of calls. I've never taken a call like that.
No, me
you know, it's always been the aftermath from the person who's been stung. But, and that one is, you know, rather extreme.
I'm going to have to brush up on my EMD cards. I don't know that there's a whole lot of aid that we can render though over the phone with something like that. What do you throw a blanket on them? You know, like with somebody on
as
fire.
If he was on fire.
There's some stuff that you can do, yeah. But with a swarming, it's so much different than a single sting or like 10 stings. A swarming is just
That's just crazy.
Protocol.
And then depending on how far he was, I mean, they were still going after him after that, and really bad. It sounded like at the end there.
That's what I said. I don't know if it came through, but that's what a real caller sounds like. You know,
yes.
You try to figure out if tapes are, if they're like pre-recorded or whatnot.
Right,
you listen to them, and people are like, "Oh, my friend is being stung by a bee. Please, I need help immediately. Send out everybody." But when they sound like that, the beep, son of a beep, son of a beep, then you're like, "Oh, that's a real call."
Oh yeah. So, and I probably should have said it right in the beginning, but for anybody who's listening right now, this is your disclaimer. This is your warning. Some of the tapes that we're going to play, we're keeping it light today because it is our first time playing some tapes. So, you know, they're going to be funny and kind of unbelievable for one of them or two of them, I guess. And, but there are some swear words. So if you don't dig swear words, then you don't have to listen.
Then you can't be friends with us. I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Then you don't have to listen. But, you know, this is what we deal with. And that's the way this show is going to be. You know, it's going to have real calls. This is what we really deal with. And some of the tapes that have been FOIA'd that we're allowed to use, which I should say it right off the bat, these are all from the Dispatch Magazine Online. They have a library full of tapes that you can go to and you can listen. You know, they've all been FOIA'd already and, you know, we got permission. I wanted to get permission to play them on the air, on the show, mm-hmm. even though, you know, it says on there, you can use them for whichever. I wanted to get that formal, that green light. So, you know, you guys can go on there. You can learn from a lot of these calls and listening to them, but this is what we're going to be doing with a lot of the new episodes is playing these because we're not always going to have someone to interview. So we're going to be having episodes like this where it's topics where Whitney and I are talking about different things and stuff that's going on in dispatch or the dispatch world per se.
Yep.
So yeah, these are the kind of things that we're going to be getting into, but That poor guy, man.
Oh, poor buddy. What a crummy day.
I know, exactly. You know, and you say what a crummy day. And I always, I laugh about this, but can you imagine if we had music playing? And I don't know if the way other dispatch departments do it, but when we put people on hold,
oh, yeah.
there's no music or no. anything. You know, it just sounds like someone hung up. You know, there's
we
no
have
there's
to
no
remind
beep.
Our callers of
yeah,
that.
There's no beep or nothing like that. So I always think, what if we had a bad call and there was music playing and
like
it starts
elevator
going?
Music.
Well, now you had a bad day. yeah, wouldn't that be bad? I mean, that's like insult to injury right there.
You know what we should do? Obviously, never go through with it, but we should have a contest with songs that should be submitted by our listeners for potential hold music. You know, like
oh, right.
Well, yeah, how does that go?
That would be interesting.
One of this girl is on fire. Like, yeah. You know, stuff like that. I don't know if that was the right words, but that just came to me.
That would be interesting. Yeah. Yeah. We should do that. Anybody who's listening right now, you know, the fans of the show and everything else, if you have any music, and once again, this is joking. This yes. is all, this isn't anything real, but if we were to have. You know, hypothetically, to have music to play while you're on hold on a 901 call, you know, stuff like that, those kind of songs, what would you want to have on there? Because that would be messed up.
Yes. And how about this? For the best one that gets submitted, we'll give it a couple of days. So people who might get these through subscriptions on iTunes or whatnot, I will personally send you. Do we still have bumper stickers left?
Yes.
Well? Okay.
We have some bumper stickers. Yes.
I will buy a bumper sticker. And I will mail it to you, whoever comes up with the best one. And I don't know how we're going to do the voting process. I think you and I should just decide on which is the funniest because right. we kind of have a pretty intense sense of humor. But yeah, let's do that. I like this idea. And it, again, it's not for real, but oh, that would become, I can just see it happening in my real life. Sometimes I think I need theme music in my life.
Right. It's like my kid sometimes when he showed me something yesterday, he's like, check it out. I was like, what is it? And he shows me and he goes, winning it.
He's when doing he was holding
only
something.
Theme music when he's showing it. And I'm like, yeah, you're my kid because I have done that myself.
Awesome.
I have my own theme music.
Don't let me forget. I got to buy a bumper sticker from you.
Yeah, we'll see. This is going to be good. Let's see how that comes about. You know, a lot of the other calls that I was listening to that were on there, well, I was going through stuff. It made me think that, you know, did you growing up, did you ever have, you know, any boyfriends that you broke up with and they just got kind of psychotic? I mean, like they just really wanted to stay with you. And
oh,
you
know, please, I broke up with them and they were like, yes.
ran away.
No, fortunately, I'm pretty lucky. I dated a couple of guys for a long, long time, and no, it was. I would like to say it was an amicable breakup, but I do have a girlfriend. She's got a baby daddy, and that's one of my best friends. I mean, you know who I'm talking about when I mentioned my best friend. She's a great girl. She's married now and's got some other kids, but oh, bless her sweet little heart. So whenever I think about stories with crazy exes, I just bing, go well, right back.
I ask because there's another tape that I'm going to play here. Mm-hmm. And this is the one that, you know, you were asking me, you know, should we listen to these first or do you want my reaction?
Oh,
and
we were texting.
This one,
yeah.
I wanted your reaction from because
yeah,
when
I haven't heard
it,
any of these yet.
When I heard it, I thought, wow, this is nuts. So, I'll just play it instead of setting it up. But, it has to do with handcuffing.
Oh,
yes. So,
oh, okay,
we'll just go ahead and play it here and we'll go from there.
Fairfield, Connecticut, 833 Tunkstus Hill Road.
What's going on?
My wife has handcuffed me. I need assistance right away.
What happened?
My wife has handcuffed me.
She's
talking. She's handcuffed me. Pair of handcuffs.
Okay.
She's handcuffed me. She's attacking me. I have not done anything to hurt her. She has a record of violence.
How did he get a phone?
And help me get out of here.
Right, yeah.
Where is she now?
I'm holding her down so I can call you. Please send someone.
Is there any way that you can lock yourself in another room?
No, she's handcuffed herself to tell me.
That's what happened.
Okay, is she hurting you, sir? Do you need an ambulance?
No, I don't need an ambulance. I need police. 833 Thompson Hill Road, Fairfield, Connecticut.
I got that already, sir. What's her name?
Helen Sun. And she has a history of violence. Please.
Is there any drinking involved?
No.
Any drunk?
No.
And your name, sir?
My name is Robert Jarba.
Are there any weapons in the house?
I don't know. Knives and such. I don't know what she got before she handcuffed me. There could be nothing. Ow! Ow!
What is she doing now, sir?
Yeah,
that's so bad.
Fucking, she's sticking her head. Ow! She's biting me.
I was going to say, is she biting him?
Yeah, she started biting him.
Almost dead. I can't get to the door to open it.
Okay, is it locked?
The door's locked.
Baby, we've been a force entry.
So they're gonna have
yeah.
to break in?
Yeah.
What started this, sir? Do you know? What started? Why did she do this?
Because I divorced her and started leaving her. And... Ow! Ow!
Because he wanted to divorce her. Yeah, like an 80s elbow drop, you know, or like the macho man Randy Savage.
Scissor kicker or something.
I need help.
Okay, they've been on the way, sir, since you first gave me the address. I'm just trying to keep you on the phone to make sure that everything's okay. Does she have any knives or anything that she can grab or anything?
I don't know what she has. 833 Conk's Tail Road.
I know, sir. I already have the address. They've been on the way for a couple minutes now.
Thank you. I'm so sorry.
She just came out of nowhere and handcuffed you?
Yeah, so I woke up.
Where in the house are you?
Oh, in the back bedroom.
Back bedroom?
Yeah, back bedroom. Help!
Okay. You're on the first floor.
That's right. Right away, you call back.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as the phone hangs up.
And all 911 dispatchers know you got to be careful what you say here to your coworkers when you're calling somebody back, because
right,
it pulls
still
everything.
Please dial the numeral 1.
Okay, so.
I would not. I mean, that is a call where we always have a tendency to say things out loud, like, you know, your house is on fire.
Right.
Your spouse isn't breathing. So if you were like, your wife is biting you, I'd pop up over my console and look at you and be like, for real?
Yeah.
For real?
Because it's stuff like that is unbelievable. I mean, so, yeah. So if you guys didn't catch it, I always think that us dispatchers, we have an ear when we're really listening to calls. We can tell what they're saying. And before right. I started this in this profession, and I heard a tape, I wouldn't be able to really tell what was going on at all.
It just sounds like breathing and muffled.
Yeah,
kind of.
they're speaking in tongues. I don't know what's going on. So if you listen to that and you really didn't catch what was going on, the guy was calling 911 because his wife handcuffed herself to him. And it was because he was wanting to divorce her and leave her. So when he woke up, he found himself handcuffed. And as he's holding her down to try to make this phone call, she starts biting him. And it's just...
Yeah, this is a whole different crazy than what I thought of when you asked me. I was
right.
thinking like saying mean stuff to people. And
oh, no, this no. is handcuffing someone to you. And
okay, yeah,
and really, you know, just taking a bite out of crime or marriage.
Literally.
Yeah. You know, to answer, I ended up getting... a message from a resident out of Polk County in Florida, and they wanted to know why we ask so many questions once they've given all the information. Well, this call is right right along with that. You know, he gave all the information and the dispatcher's still asking a bunch of questions. But the reason we answer or ask all these questions is because we have officers that are heading over there and we have to figure out every little thing that's going on that will help them out. And, you know, it's, it helps you out in the long run. Because if we would have never asked, or if this dispatcher would have never asked, well, can you get away? Well, no, I can't because she's handcuffed to me. If that wasn't known or anything, you know, it could have made the situation worse. So, mm-hmm. you know,
especially
we always,
if they come in there and they see a man, you know, pinning a woman down on the ground,
right.
They're going to come in with, I think 9 times out of 10, they're probably going to come in with either weapons drawn, or if you have a real gusto type of mm-hmm. officer, he's going to clobber this guy. But yeah, for them to know why this man is kind of pinned down this woman.
Yeah. So there you go, ma'am, to answer your question. That's why we ask.
Another good point, another good kind of a side answer to that is that even when you listen to audio from a 911 call, you don't always get the radio traffic from the mm-hmm. police officers. So sometimes if I'm on a 911 call and Ricardo's on Prime, our main radio channel, I'll unkey that channel. Mm-hmm. So I have it unmuted. So I'm listening to my caller, but in the background, I can hear what all the officers are asking Ricardo. And instead of Ricardo either sending me a message kind of through this instant message thing we have for work, or putting it in the narrative of the call, or just yelling to me, I can hear what the officers are asking him. And then I just ask the questions. So sometimes the questions might seem really off the wall, but the officers might have either dealt with somebody at this house before. They might know, you know, mental illness has affected this family, something like that. So sometimes it's not even us asking questions that we have to ask. It's more the officers saying, well, you know, what did they have for breakfast this morning? Weird stuff, like, you know, sometimes some of the officers ask the weirdest questions. And
yeah,
like, oh, I don't know, I'll ask.
They'll go on a secondary channel and ask different questions. So like, hold on a minute for the call taker, and the call taker will either cover up the phone as much as they can, or they put that person on hold so they can answer these questions because they're the ones who are taking the call at the time. But yeah, sometimes some weird questions do come out. It's like when they're going to a car crash and they ask you right away, is EMS and fire en route? And you know, all you dispatchers that are listening to this, you know that you've had this question come up and you're sitting there thinking, well, no, we don't send them out for car crashes and injuries. We don't do that.
There's a lot of sarcasm right now between Ricardo and I.
Yes.
Because you get an unknown accident, or if there's caller just screams, there's blood everywhere, then obviously you get EMS going and you stage them if you have to. But and I think in their defense, I brought that up to one of the deputies that's a friend of ours, and I said, what's the story, man? Why do you keep asking me that? Because one of these days, I said, I'm starting to get a little spicy about it because I'm feeling like you're calling me out on the radio, like you think I'm dumb or something. Right. I said, one of these days, I'm just going to key up after you yell, is EMS en route? I'm just going to key up and say, no. I said, that's going to be it. I said, stop doing that. He's like, yeah, well, when I get out there and there's blood everywhere. And he's like, I just want to make sure. And I was like, well, rest assured, young one.
Yeah. Young Padawan, yeah. Pretty Star Wars people out there.
Rest assured, I have the ambulance en route.
Yeah, they are en route. So yeah, it's little things like that. And like I said earlier, this episode is a little different. So you also get to hear a lot of the sarcasm and the dark humor that comes with this profession, which, you know, a lot of it we need to have to get through some of the calls that we take, because man, that some of the calls can
be really
crazy. Yeah. And some of those crazy calls will be ones that are played here. But like I said, for right now, for this being the first time that we're doing this, we're going out light. They're going to be lighter calls.
Yeah. I won't say the call, but since that call that crazy call you and I were talking about, since that one was already FOIA'd, let's play that. You guys can hear me on a 911 call that. So we do QAs, quality assurance. They pull one emergency and one non-emergency tape every month. And then the supervisors critique them, go through them, you know, make sure you're doing everything you need to do. And Ricardo was in the supervisor's office, which is a side wing off of our comm center. And I was sitting there on phones and I'm on a 911 call, I think. And Ricardo, the door flies open. And he pops his head out the door and he looks at me and I look back at him like, what? And he's like, I'm listening to that suicidal that you took. Oh my gosh. And then he closes the door again and goes back in the office.
Yeah, it was very intense.
It was just I was only working a 4-hour shift and I just kind of went in there and thought I was just going to be working a little quick shift and head back home. And it was, so you'll have to stay tuned. Hopefully we can just pull the audio on it.
Right.
Get it set up.
I don't usually get frazzled with a lot of calls that I listen to, but that one, because it's like right off the bat, right when they bring it up right off the bat, I was listening to it. I had to rewind it because I didn't realize at first that's what that person said. So I thought, no, I'm going to rewind it. Maybe it's not what I heard. And then when I heard it again, I was like, oh, that's right. That's what I heard.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I opened up the door right away before I heard the rest of the call. And I said that to Whit. And then I went back to it and I thought, man,
I just kind of gave him a thumbs up. Like,
yeah,
that's what I get a paycheck for, guy.
Yeah, it was very intense. But yeah, that is one thing that we're definitely going to bring up there. You know, we were on the topic there of listener questions and everything. We had one a few weeks ago that came up, and I had been saving it because I wanted to do it for this episode that we were doing here. And this was one that dealt with the language line. You know, if you get somebody who calls in and there's a language barrier, what do you do? Well, with our center, we have the language line, you know, that we mm-hmm. call into and everything. And, you know, actually about a week ago, I also had one where the person was hearing impaired.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah. And it was like, you know, it was kind of like a Skype thing where the translator was doing, you mm-hmm. know, all the sign language. I had never done that before. And I know we mentioned it before in a previous episode with the language line. What we do is, you know, the person who's interpreting, they talk as if they were the caller. So, you know, the call goes hand in hand, just like that, as if you're talking to the actual caller.
Side note, it never goes hand in hand. It
right.
Never
no, it doesn't go that
out.
Smooth. Yeah. And so with this one that I did, I'm talking to the translator like the middle person, not as the exactly. caller.
And then they're going to translate it like that.
Right. And then there were a few times where she said, I have to sign it back to them as if you were talking to that person. I'm like, oh, okay, I'm sorry. So then I started talking, but then I did it again, and I could hear her that she was getting a little flustered with me, and I bit my lip, and I thought, what a fool. What are you doing? Just talk to her like it's the caller.
Right.
And then when I got halfway through the call, then I got the hang of it. But yeah, it doesn't go that smooth.
Never.
Because I'm so used to taking a call and having to move fast that this one, it wasn't that fast. So that's why I was stumbling, because it wasn't the normal fast paced type of call where, you know, that almost tends to go smoother than one that's slower, and which sounds weird, but it makes sense.
But that's how our brains, you know, we're just so fast paced, move forward, go mm-hmm. that, yeah, when you have to stop and wait for somebody to translate. And ASL, American Sign Language, is way different. My mom mm-hmm. is an interpreter for sign language, and it's interesting. I think Ben and I were out to dinner not too long ago, and I with some friends, and I laughed. I said, it's so loud in this restaurant that, you know, sometimes I'll notice my mom, she'll be ordering, and if the waitress is like, excuse me, my mom will start signing it, and I'll be like, no, mom, she's not deaf. Gotta use real language here. But it's interesting, though, to watch ASL, it's its own language. So there's kind of ways mm-hmm. that the interpreter has to figure out how to translate. Ricardo, you're Spanish speaking, so mm-hmm. you know that things don't always translate perfectly.
Right, right.
Yeah, so they'll stop. And so I get where that would be hard for that translator to try to, like, oh, how am I going to say this back to them? And
right, yeah. So it's definitely, it can be interesting. And that was my first time going through that. And actually, it got better because I had to talk to that person two or three times. And it was the home phone number, but when you call it, it's like it's routed to the translator,
yep.
their specific translator, and then it rings into them. So then.
And it's not usually, but sometimes it can be like a light that flashes mm-hmm. and then it's a Skype. So they'll just go in front of their computer with their webcam, and then mm-hmm. you're talking to the translator, but the translator, whether they have a headset on or something, and then they're Skyping with.
Yeah, so I got the hang of it afterwards.
But that's
and it was a lot easier, but that's how you learn.
But you can't practice that. Yeah,
yeah,
you have to just do it and be in the middle of an emergency.
Right.
And do it.
Yeah, because the call came in, she says, I'm so-and-so, I'm the translator, I'll be translating for this person. I said, okay, well, can you ask them? No, you got it. And I was, oh, crap, that's right. I have to talk to you like you're the actual person. But yeah, going back to the original question, you know, that's how we do it. I don't know how other centers do it. you know, I'm able to speak Spanish, you know, at least get through the entire call and everything. And, you know, you've got some as well that you can use. But other than that, you know, we just, is it like an 800 number? Because to be honest with you, I've never actually used that language line to do it.
I think the language line is a pretty common thing. When I did my internship for Kentwood probation here in West Michigan, Kentwood's a city in Kent County. And I know that the judge for the district court there, people would come into court and be real defiant. And, you know, one guy was like, I forget, it was a very, I don't know if it was like Samoan or is a language that not many people could be like, hey, yeah, you know, Steve, you can speak a little bit of that, can't you? Right. Yeah. And but same thing, he would call up the language line and just watch the defendant sit there and get the language line on the phone. But yeah, we have it programmed in our phone as a speed dial and we hit that button. Oh, have you used it very often?
I've never used it, only because whenever something comes up, every time, and it's usually I'm working on something and I'll hear, un momento, por favor. Yeah.
Espera,
and I turn
espera,
and I,
espera,
yeah,
espera,
exactly.
Espera.
And I look and I'm like, oh man. And I say that not because I don't want to help anybody. It's just because I was taught English first. So my Spanish works, but it's kind of broken. That's why I've always brought it out, is that it's more broken than fixed. So sometimes I get embarrassed and I'm always afraid that, you know, they're going to say something and I'm going to interpret it wrong. You know, I'm going to screw up a call. So
that can be scary, because if you go to court and they look at you and they say, you took this on, you thought you could do it, and now look what happened, whether it's responder safety or caller safety. That's why I'm the same way. I'm like, I always, even though I can speak Spanish and I know what my callers are saying, I'll tell them enough, you know, like, I'm going to get a translator on the phone. Just hold on with me. Don't hang up. Don't hang up. But I won't do it, because I always think if I sit in court one day and I know that I made a mistake, that would be the end of me. I'd be done. But no, what we do is we call this language line. Somebody answers the phone. We give them a 5-digit code that's unique just for Allegan County. And then they just ask what language we need. And it's usually Spanish. I think on one of our episodes, I was talking about, I spoke with somebody that spoke Mandarin.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, is that what it's called? Like, it's some Asian dialect, but I know there's like 300 of them. So, and then sometimes they reroute you. But if it's Spanish, I found that every single time I've called and said I needed a Spanish translator, it's been who I've talked to. They said, okay, you know, I'm operator 562, go ahead. And then I just say, okay, my name is Whitney. I work with Allegan County Central Dispatch, and I'm going to start translating. I need a translator starting now. And then I kind of give them a sounding point. But every once in a while, they're funny. They'll come back to me and they'll be like, it's a mess back there. Just a minute. They're trying to figure out what's going on. So they have, they're kind of normal too. They'll just say, okay, they're trying to, because sometimes I'm like, what are they talking about? She's like, they're just trying to ask somebody who actually saw what happened.
Nice. Well, you know, and it's a good thing that we have the language line too, because before we had that implemented, there was a call that one of our coworkers took, and this was, I don't know, maybe 3 years ago, something like that. And I always laugh about it, and I always bring it up to her just because it's funny. She had taken a phone call, and it was just a motorist assist. The guy's car broke down, and she couldn't really understand. He had a really thick accent. And she says, sir, I'm sorry. I can't understand what you're saying. I don't speak Spanish. And he says, I don't speak Spanish either. I'm Indian.
I don't speak Spanish either.
Right. And it's just one of those moments. You know, that's where where we stick our foot in her mouth. It's like, oh crap.
Oh, that's so awesome.
So every now and then, you know, we'll be talking about something and I'll say that, like, I don't speak Spanish either. I'm Indian. And she'll be like, shut up, Ricardo. But to hear her tell the story, it's funny as heck. But yeah, the language line, very good stuff there. So if you guys use it, that's excellent. If not, it'll be something to check out.
And it's, I don't know if we've talked about this before too, but really quickly for people who are wondering, you can either pay a monthly like subscription to it where you just pay the same flat rate, or you can pay on a per call basis. At least that's what it was right when we started it here. Cause you know, I had said we used it in the courts, why don't we use it here? And I think it was already in the works, but once we got it, they were just concerned about billing, how that would work. So
The past couple of days I've been posting up on the fan page for Jabberlog on Facebook about this 6-panel episode that we want to do. It's a mixed panel episode, and we're just trying to raise a little bit more funds to get this going. It would go to a couple more microphones, a bigger headphone amp, and other things so that we can bring in someone from to represent police, fire, and EMS, and maybe another agency, so that we can give everybody a balanced outlook of what goes on. You know, we have a huge part, but our brothers and sisters out in the field, you know, they've got a huge part as well. So it's an episode that we're working on that we want to get everybody to come in on. And, you know, if you have ideas, any type of suggestions or anything for this episode, and there's, it's not going to be just one episode. There'll probably be more, but for this first special episode, like I said, we were trying to raise more money. So, and all the money that we make just off of donations, that are on the jabberlog.com, on the sidebar, there's a donation button, or from the Jabberlog store, with all the Within Trenches, merchandise, all of that goes to the show. You know, Whitney and I, what we're doing right now, we're doing this for free. You know, we don't we don't get paid for this or anything. All the money that we get, it goes to the show so that we can keep bringing you guys these awesome episodes with interviews, you know, stuff that you guys don't hear a lot about. And so, yeah, definitely help us out. It's going to be a really good episode. We got some people in mind already to do this. So, like I said, help us out. Be great. You know, to get some more loot going towards our cause there.
Yeah, and it's super important because some of the other responders that we have already talked about having on the show, they just, we're still going to keep this dispatch focused. We want this to be about us. These are our people. This is our family. However, some of our friends or some people that have been involved on the other side of the call, they can bring a lot of awareness to the other side of dispatch, kind of that side, like I was talking about earlier. You don't hear what's going on the radio, why they're asking us these questions. You know, it's just, it rounds everything out so much more that Ricardo and I hear, like when we're at parties with all of our police officer friends or EMS friends, firefighter friends, stuff like that. We get that other side of the story, but we want you to hear it too and hear why and hear how it happened and hear all that good stuff. So it is really important that, you know, if you've got a little extra money and you want to help put it into the show, we want to bring you the best show possible.
And on that note, we were talking about earlier, you know, putting your foot in your mouth. And sometimes, you know, there's calls that come in where, you know, we're doing our best job. We're doing everything that we can, but some of the calls that come in can be kind of ridiculous. And I don't want that to sound in a bad way, but, you know, sometimes we want to respond in a way that could get us in trouble. And, you know, we usually don't because we don't want to get in trouble and we love our job and we do like helping. But this tape I'm going to play right now, it's just a short tape, and it's a dispatcher who says something that a lot of us have probably wanted to say, but we don't because we hold back. So our dark humor that we talk about and joke about and sarcasm, at least with this dispatcher, it actually came out. So, and we'll just play this really quick, and I'm sure you'll understand what I'm talking about. And it's a tape, I believe, that's been played by a lot of radio stations and everything. So it's been out there for a while. And here we go.
911, what is your emergency?
Yes, I need a police officer over here at 7th Corner.
What's going on?
I've got two teenage daughters, and I just got home from work. They were physically fighting with each other, and one of them kicked a hole in a door. And they're 12 and almost 14, and the 12-year-old is completely out of control. And I physically, as she's as big as I am, I can't control her.
Okay, did you want us to come over to shoot her? Are you there?
Excuse me?
That's a joke. Okay, so
who are you? What is your name?
Mike Forbes.
Okay, that's not funny, Mike.
I'm sorry.
What, I'm going to file a formal complaint.
I don't blame you a bit.
Because you know what? This is really not very funny.
I know it's not, ma'am.
Well, guess what? It's not going to be very funny when I go in front of your supervisor and tell him.
I understand.
Excuse me, I guess he can just listen to the tape.
Yes, he can. I'm sorry. I apologize.
Well, sorry doesn't cut it. I need a police officer.
Hold on.
You can hear the phone ringing off the hook, too. You can just imagine how his day was probably going already, being busy.
Yeah. Okay. 12 and 10 and 12 or 12 and 14?
12 and 13 and a half.
Okay. All right. Get police officers on the way. They're on an emergency call right now, but as soon as I can get one free, I'll get them on the way.
Oh, well, don't rush or anything.
Well, I apologize for my smart remark, and I will get them en route as soon as I can.
Okay, and what is your name again?
Mike Corvus. My number is 605.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, he handled it a lot better than I would have. After I said it, I would have been like, well, it's a yes or no question, ma'am.
Okay, so with that call, he said something jokingly, you know, of course. It didn't sound like a huge emergency. You know, she said that her daughters were, you know, one of them had kicked a hole in the wall or the door or something like that. But you can't hear them in the background. They could have been calm at that point already. Mm-hmm. You know, once again, we don't know that or anything, but, some calls, let me put it this way. I took a call once from someone who said that their 4-year-old was out of control and they wanted me to send an officer over there to scare her child. I mean, she literally said, can't you just have him come over here and scare him? Well, we don't want kids to be afraid of the police.
No, exactly.
Yeah. There's such this skewed, perception of law enforcement that goes on that just annoys the crap out of me. You know, that kids shouldn't be afraid of the police. And, you know, I don't know what happened to him. I don't know if he ended up losing his job because of that phone call or that remark, I should say. But that sometimes it sucks when stuff happens like that. And I'm not trying to be, you know, a punk here either or anything. I do understand that there are parents who have to call because they have children who have, you know, disabilities or, you know, autistic or whichever. And, you know, they really get out of hand. And sure, you know, we're all about going to help out in any way that we can. I will never deny somebody to see an officer if they really need it, you know. But there are just some people who just take advantage of the system. And, you know, that really sucks. But that remark, it is funny, but you know, that does kind of suck though that it came out like that,
right? That she that he happened to say it. I mean, because I think we've all said it to each other, like, what do they want us to do? What do they want a police officer to do to their 4-year-old? We're not scare them. Like, how scare them? Yell at them? Can't you yell at them?
Right?
Just because she's wearing a vest or a badge, or I don't know. I was telling Ricardo about this call I had. This grandma and grandpa, I don't know if they had custody of this child or if the child was just spending an extended period of time over there, but he was special needs and he was kind of like that tween age there and he didn't want to take a bath. And I talked to grandpa and, you know, grandpa was just really frustrated and he said he's out of control. He won't take a bath. And I didn't really know what to do because I could hear the child in the background and the child was mad, but it didn't sound like they were breaking things, like that kind of commotion.
Right.
So I asked grandpa, I said, do you mind if I talk to him? And he said, no, you can do whatever you want to do. So he put the kid on the phone and I said, hey, buddy, what's going on? And he told me, you know, grandpa's trying to get me to take a bath and I don't want to. And I said, well, you don't want to be the stinky kid at school, do you? And he kind of paused and he I don't know if he thought about it or if he was just like, who is this lady thinking she is?
Right.
But then he stopped and he was like, well, no. I said, well, jump in that tub and get scrubbed up and then you can be out of it and you'll be all done with it. That was all it took. Just to kind of come down on his level and kind of give him a choice.
Right.
We find the same thing though. If you can give your caller a choice, whether it's mental illness, whether, you know, if they're suicidal, if they're really intoxicated and they have no intent of, you know, letting law enforcement in the house. I'm trying to set up all these scenarios quickly in my head because I didn't think I was going to go this route, but that's one of our tactics we use. If you give somebody a choice, you can present two options that are going to benefit the call taker in both ways, but present it to the caller that they get to make a choice which one they're going to do. And usually they'll do it. And you can even say, you have a choice right now if you're going to get locked up or if you're going to help me out here. And people just want to be given a choice. They don't want to be told what to do. So even with 11-year-old special needs boys in a bathtub said, well, you don't want to be the stinky kid. And he didn't want to be the stinky kid. So
he went and it was all good. He ended up taking his bath. So, yeah. Interesting calls that we take. You know, before we go on and wrap this up, I'm going to play one more. It's only a minute long, and it's one that I haven't even heard myself. But it sounds like it has to do with some sort of problem with someone who ordered something and the order didn't come out right, so they called 911.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
She wanted extra what?
She wanted extra. She ordered shrimp fried rice.
Yeah.
She wanted extra. She wanted the extra shrimp, and they wouldn't give it to her. So she said,
"You gonna give me my money back?
Right. If you don't, I'm gonna call the cops."
I can't hear you. Do what? I'm just saying to get a police officer up here. What has to happen? I'm gonna send an officer. I just don't know how long it's gonna take. Okay, thank you.
So she wanted extra shrimp. And they didn't want to give it to her. So she wanted the police to go over there.
And sometimes I find like people call 911 to get the upper hand. Like if you have a boyfriend and a girlfriend that are going through a breakup.
Oh, yeah.
And they're like, well, I'm going to call the police because of this or because of that. And it's they want to be the first one to call the police. Well, they asked for a police officer. We have to send them out. But you, that's how I feel like her situation was. Well, I'm going to call the police. Well, what are the police going to do?
Yeah.
That's not a criminal matter. No crime occurred there.
Can you imagine the officer showing up and busting out his gun or taser and being like, you better give that extra shrimp. No.
She wanted some more prawns.
Yeah, that would never happen. But, you know, some people think it's an emergency,
that's what they call us.
Think and
that's going to happen.
Right.
It's
and
not.
That's why we're here and why we have a job.
Yeah.
So we are moving towards the wrap up here. I just want to mention a few things. I know it's early and everything because it's coming up this coming October. And I believe it's the 17th and 18th.
Yep.
Success Communications with Kelly Rasmussen is putting together this 911-4-911 conference. And that is going to be over in Las Vegas. It's an inspirational conference for dispatchers. And we'll put a link up on the blog post when we post all this up and everything else. It's something definitely for you to check out, people to go and be with like-minded individuals and just have a really good time and hear stories from speakers. I'm actually going to be there myself. I'm going to be speaking on my story, how I got into dispatching and everything else, and about the show. And, we are going to be there, and hopefully Whit and I are going to be able to do some episodes from Vegas. So that is going to be awesome. Can't wait for that. But Success Communications is running a special right now. So if you sign up and you tell them that you heard about the conference from Within the Trenches on the JCast Jabberlug, they will do a buy one, get one free deal with you. So you will only have to pay for your registration fee, but the other dispatcher or whoever you have bringing with you to the conference, they get in for free. So that is an excellent deal that they're running. Make sure to check that out. And
this is an awesome networking thing because because it is just for dispatchers. It's a morale booster. It's just being around with other like-minded individuals. So I really just at least check it out. It's just www.911-4911.com.
Mm-hmm.
So just all numbers.
Exactly. And then off of that, if you guys are going to be headed to the, if you're in the Michigan area and you're going to be heading to the NENA conference in Lansing, I will also be there on Thursday, which I think it's going to be the 24th of April, maybe? No, May. May 24th, I believe, is when it is. And I will be there around 10:30, I believe, is when my portion is going to start. And I will be presenting there once again for the show and, just telling my story and everything. So if you guys are going to be in the area, come out and check it out. I'm going up against, I believe it's the National Weather Service and someone else who's going to be doing stuff on different laws So I've got some stiff competition there. If you guys want to come and check me out, I'll be there. Please sign up.
And really quick, I just realized I just double checked my notes and it's 911 for 911.membersnap.com. Couldn't make it through a whole episode without lying.
Yeah.
The second I said it, I thought, no, there was something else in there. I don't think that's right.
Yeah. And actually, you know what? I think it actually, it goes to that. So if you do the 91491.com, we'll figure it out here really quick. Type it in there really quick and then see if it goes automatically to.
Oh, it does.
Sweet. So there, you've got two choices, but the 91491.com probably be the easiest one.
And
but
it'll just reroute.
Yeah, it'll automatically reroute to the second one that she gave. So there, you've got both ways to get on there and check it out. But yeah, that'll be our wrap up for episode number 12. And if you guys have any suggestions, anything that you would like us to talk about, any different people, everybody who signed up on our Facebook event for the open call for the show, we're still going through all your names and everything to get more people on the show. So I don't think we've forgotten about anybody. I know there hasn't been a lot of stuff on there, but we are getting the people for it.
And if you have a tape, one of your own 911 tapes that you think is really awesome and you really... We would like to go the funny route right now, but if it's a really intense call, we don't want a tape that's, you know, like a 45-minute tape because that would be hard to play through for our listeners. But
right.
If you have something that's really outstanding, forget being funny. If it's good or bad and it's just outstanding and you think you did a great job, or if you have a coworker that just did a wonderful job, let us know. We'll look into submitting the FOIA paperwork for it or whatnot. It's just, you know, the more you can narrow it down, date and time that the call came in or whatnot, we'll try to do all the heavy work behind it. By we, I mean me. I will have to do all that work.
Uh-huh.
But let us know. Remember, WTTPpodcast@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm. You can also reach us at thejcast@thejabberlog.com. You can reach us on or follow us on Twitter @Jabberlog. And then this post on Spreaker.com. I'll just go through this right now. This is all the ways that you can listen to us. You can listen to us on Spreaker.com, iTunes, Stitcher, and now on SoundCloud. We're going to be on there as well. So there's all those different ways that you can listen to us. And as always, everything is always posted 24/7 on thejabberlog.com. Have a good one, everybody.
You just listened to Within the Trenches on the JCast. If you have any questions or would like to be a guest on the show, send an email to thejcast@thejabberlog.com.